Is it not fair to say, though, that there have been moves by this administration that have opened up cash and other opportunities for them, which we know are fungible in ways that are not helping the Iranian people, but are benefiting the elites and people there who chant death to America and
you,
death to Israel?
You and I have had this fungibility argument before. I obviously take a different issue. I take an issue with that characterization. The sanctions relief that has come about, or it's not even sanctions relief, but the additional funds that have been made available to Iran due to sanctions relief program that the Trump administration put in place can only be used for humanitarian goods. It doesn't go to the regime. And the idea that the regime was somehow felt like they were freed up to support these proxies because of that, it just doesn't comport with the facts. But they have been supporting these proxies for many, many years.
And it comports with their language, though, saying we will use this money in the way that we want to use.
Okay, so that's what fungibility is. I mean, I really feel like John Kirby needs to understand this. That's what fungibility is. It's and I love it. He's like, well, you know, it was the relief program, but it was under Trump. That's not what happened. Biden unfroze okay, look, let me explain this real quick before we do the greetings and salutations. When you have a penalty that is enforced against a geopolitical opponent, and part of that includes freezing assets that they are receiving internationally as a form of oil sales. And when you unfreeze that, guess what that is? That's you're literally lessening a sanction. So you're rolling back, like, actually a sanction. That's what that is.
So sanction relief?
Yeah, it's sanction relief, Kane. Wow. That's exactly what it is, because you're providing that relief. Wow. So, yeah. Welcome to the show. It's a little busy over the weekend. Dana Loesch here with you. Top of the first hour on Monday. I really hate to disappoint you guys, but we're not going to get into World War III. I know. You're going to be... Why are you looking at me like that? I hate to disappoint you. Wait, yes, Kane.
It's not disappointment if World War III doesn't happen.
Well, I feel like some people are like, yeah, World War III. And I'm like, I don't think you really know what that all entails. Let's not and say we did. We're not going to get into World War III. It's not going to happen. And the reason it's not going to happen is because I think there are still, thankfully, some smart people out there. So let me just give you, if you're in a TLDR kind of mood, too long didn't read kind of mood, their little missile show, their drone show, was for show, and they did it to save face. That's all you need to know. That's it. That's everything summed up right there. It was for show so they could save face. What was I telling you in the lead up to this? And this was after the bombing, which, by the way, wasn't in a consulate, guys. Can we just correct that? The general that they took out wasn't in some kind of state building. He wasn't in an embassy. He wasn't in a consulate. That's fake news. Okay, the guy was in a theater of war, and he wasn't in any kind of hallowed ground. All right, so stop. The general they took out, that Israel took out in that rocket attack, it was the guy who literally planned October 7th. So I just, I'm not going to feel bad for that. Dude deserved it. He was the mastermind for October 7th. He deserved to get murked from the sky. I'm totally fine with it. But Israel, remember what I told you in the lead up to this, and that's some of these proxy groups were feeling a little bit, they were feeling some discontent. They were feeling some discontent with everything because they were feeling as though they've been doing a lot of the heavy lifting, and Iran was in a very weird place, because if they decided to like open up on Israel, then Israel could strike back. So they had to do something to save face, to keep the proxy groups happy, to make it seem as though the proxies weren't doing all the heavy lifting while Iran wasn't really doing anything and letting everyone else take the hits for it. So they needed to do something to save some face. They couldn't do an all-out open assault. So they decided that the drones, and this is because this is literally what it, this is what it was. This is the first thing I thought of when I saw these drones coming up, because, did you see how slow these damn things went? And they spot lit them too, by the way. I don't know if you guys were aware of that. They wanted them to be shot down. This was still such an embarrassing move on behalf of Iran. They did this to make their little warlords happy and to make it look like they still had some kind of muscle. This was not, because otherwise, what they look like a smacked ass. That's all they look like. They still look like that. I don't think it saved all that much face, because you had Saudi Arabia and Jordan even standing in that. Well, you knew Saudi Arabia was. But Iran acted in a way where they still looked like the bad guy. They didn't look like the good guy in this. But what gets me was how so many morons on the left were rushing out like, hands off Iran, hands up, shush up. I noticed how the ceasefire people, the ceasefire crowd, wasn't screaming ceasefire to Iran. Did you guys notice that? I did. I noticed it. So that's like the first and foremost. That's the first thing that I thought of. So I know every World War III had been trending and everyone was talking about it. And oh my gosh, what's going to happen? You know what? It's not going to happen. This was just them trying to muster up some kind of show of force to make it look like they weren't there. Iran isn't totally worth it. Worthless. So that's ultimately what this was. But the reactions from the left and even our own administration, and this is where I want to get into some of this other stuff, because they were saying, oh, it could be a catastrophic escalation depending on how Israel wants to respond. Here's the tricky part. I made this mention on social media over the weekend, and this was in response to, I can't remember if it was Piers Morgan or who it was. Oh yeah, people are saying Israel must show restraint. Now, there's two ways of looking at this. I feel like we're here, and I don't feel this is we're here, because terrorists have thrived off of the indulgence of the restraint crowd for the entirety of our lives. They've thrived off of this. They've been emboldened by it. But simultaneously, I also understand that there's a chance for major escalation here. And it all comes down to what Israel feels like it's necessary to do. I'm not going to tell another country what to do. I'm also not going to have my kids go and or people I know go and fight in somebody else's war. That said, I don't think it's anybody's place to tell Israel to show restraint. I mean, they've been dealing with this for how many decades now? How many decades? And honestly, I'm very happy to see Iran get hit. The reason being is because I got a friend whose legs were blown off by an Iranian mine. And I know a lot of people who lost lives in their families because of Iranian munitions and terror groups in the Middle East. So, you know, I don't have any tears to shed for that entity. At what point, though, is the lesson learned? I think that that's what Israel, their war cabinet, is meeting for the second time already, I think in 24 hours. I think the lesson that they have to figure out is, or the path forward that they have to figure out, rather, is, has the message been sent? As long as Hezbollah and Hamas keep firing, though, I don't think so. Remember, Iran completely funds them. Has for decades. So, has the message been sent? That's the big thing. So the response from the left has been kind of crazy. Yes, we've basically financed this because we unfroze those accents. I guess don't. Audio soundbite two. Can we have a flashback? I don't think this was very effective. This was not effective messaging on this. Listen.
And I wonder, Mr. President, what you would say to him if he is considering using chemical or tactical nuclear weapons.
Don't. Don't. Don't.
And I wonder, what is your message to Hezbollah? Don't. And it's
okay,
backer,
did
Iran.
We just run this back?
Don't.
We
did it for both. Don't.
Oh, goodness.
Don't.
That's his big message all
That's
over
it.
The world.
That's what he said, too, at the podium for the other thing. He came back and said, don't. Is this supposed to sound hard-ass? Don't? Well, they did, so. But here's the thing. Now some are wondering, well, did Biden signal? Did he basically give them permission to do this? Here's where geopolitics gets weird and where I hate social media, because you've got to look at this in a very clinical fashion. Iran was desperate to save face after this general was taken out, right? Desperate to save some face. And Israel was very smart on how they took out this general, because despite the fact that this guy was the mastermind of, again, October 7th. And it was this, the guy deserved to be hit. They didn't bomb anybody's consulate. They didn't do anything like that. I mean, the guy was out in the open. I mean, you know, FAFO. That said, So Iran's in this. They needed to save some face. They were going to do something regardless. They could have done something super stupid, or you can send off some drones, and knowing full well that the United States and other Arab nations in that area are going to shoot them down. Okay. So you have that. Is that preferable to them going full crazy ham? And by not that they could outmatch Israel, but that they would be so reckless that it would be catastrophic. I don't remember. Iran's the country that literally photoshopped a missile launch. Go back. What was it? Was it in 2014 that they did that? They literally photographed a missile launch, and people, internet sleuths, easily figured it out because they just cloned the smoke at the base of the rocket. And they acted like that was all. I mean, it was incredibly embarrassing. They had put it out on their official military social media accounts and everything. And it was completely photoshopped. It looked worse than most people's pictures on Instagram. You know, when they put all those filters over. And I'm like, hey, you're not, I mean, you're white, you're not brown, and you don't look like marzipan. You're totally completely over-filtered. Stop. It was like that. Iran's the
2008.
Oh, it was 08? Yeah. I mean, it looked so bad, too. So they either that or they were going to do something completely reckless and stupid. We're going to explore this more, but there's an option there. And was it helpful that the administration, did they walk them down the path of less destruction? We'll talk. Also, it's National Government Theft Day. This is the day where I'm mad and I'm hateful and I have every right to be, because we all pay everybody else's fair share. And as I said earlier on social media, it's Happy National Government Theft Day, where people who screech about paying their fair share are exactly the ones who don't. And for the exorbitant forced investment of your tax dollars, you're going to get some upper class person's tuition bill, some more expensive everything, and maybe World War III. So there you go. It's National Government Theft Day. We're going to talk about taxation and how it's just worse. We are taking so much government revenue in, and we have yet crazy, crazy deficit and major government spending. We're going to talk about all of that. Additionally, we're going to get into some of the stuff with the GOP, the latest FISA, because remember, it's coming in different sections. We're going to talk about that, the warrantless spying. Gold Co., precious metals. The gold IRA field's confusing. It's oversaturated. You want to turn to somebody you can trust, and that's Gold Co. Add gold and silver as a hedge against inflation with Gold Co. They make it easy. They make sure that you are as informed as possible. They have a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers. It explains how the economy and how gold IRAs work. And they make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. And they have unmatched customer service. And they're incredibly transparent. Zero complaint record. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee as well. And you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. So protect your family's financial future and freedom. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. DanaLikesGold.com.
American jobs are good, bad, and ugly. Don't look at that headline number that the politicians are spewing on TV. Although more Americans are employed, they're all working for the government. Even worse, most of them are part-time employees.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm not going to go see this movie, and I feel like people are trying to shove it down my throat. The Civil War movie. You guys heard about this? A Civil War movie. It had a big opening, everybody. Apparently, Democrats went to see it because they're cosplayers. I love these people that sit here and talk about, like, they would go and bring it. They'd be the first people taken over and turned into, well, I'm not going to tell you. But apparently, they opened it at $25.7 million. I don't know. It's all like Democrats that are going to see this. I don't know anybody that's gone to see this. The premise looks stupid. We're going to talk about it coming up, but it just looks dumb. Investors bet on further rise in U.S. gas prices. Duh. Have you seen what's happening over in the Middle East? I don't know. Have you seen what's happening over there? Yeah. Okay. Well, of course it's going to happen. You're going to see that. This headline, though, right here, we're going to bring Gen Z and Gen X together. John Wayne Bobbitt lost all his toes. Dude, this is a headline I never... Listen to this headline. See how many boxes you can check with this headline. John Wayne Bobbitt lost all his toes due to Camp Lejeune contaminated water 30 years after his wife Lorena infamously cut off his dong.
Yep.
So you got Camp Lejeune, which I almost think that I've been exposed to contaminated water from Camp Lejeune. I've seen the ads so many times. But you have John Wayne Bobbitt. I hadn't heard about him for a while, except he was in some nasty movies. And all his toes are off. So he's lost like a lot of appendages.
I was going to say, he can't hold on to them.
No, he can't hold on to a single appendage. So he's basically, he's got stumps. Okay. There's nowhere to go with this headline at all. So let's just move on. Next. This isn't any better, really. A family, they said that they got their 9-year-old son a pet octopus. And it destroyed their home and lives because it gave birth to 50 babies, which, by the way, plural octopuses are octopedes, right? Yeah. Octopedes. That's right. Octopedes. So they said Cameron Clifford, a 36-year-old dentist, brought a female octopus for his son Cal's 9th birthday. It arrived larger than expected. They have spent $3,000 on food supplies and water repairs. They have all these octopedes, and they've got video of it. That's really? I mean, good on them, I guess, for taking care of all of them, but really? Would you do that? I'm just saying. It's just weird. So, also, let's see here. Oh, gosh. This is an actual story in 2024. A bunch of U.S. sailors were rescued from a remote Pacific island after writing help with palm leaves. They were rescued on April 9th. They were stranded for over a week. They wrote help with palm leaves on a beach, and they were found. They were on the Pikelot Atoll, one of the outer islands of the state of Yap, part of Micronesia. Look at that. Stick with us. More in store. It's tax day. The Kel-Tec Sub 2K Gen 3 is shipping now. And if you haven't taken a moment to go and make yourself familiar with it, it's an awesome 9mm carbine. And it's very innovative. Now, the previous one, I mean, you could still, just like with the previous versions, you can still fold this thing in half. But you don't have to detach your optics to do so. Just twist and fold that patent-pending rotating forend, twist it either direction, it folds the thing right in half, and it just as quickly and easily deploys it as well, optics and all. But they also upgraded the aluminum trigger. It's redesigned mechanics, so you got a lightened pull. You also have an upgraded action, redesigned operating handle for added comfort, lightened action for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open as well. All provides improved manipulation. Got a new chamber indicator, all kinds of stuff. It's shipping now. It is the new Gen 3 Sub 2K from Kel-Tec, made in America, family owned values. If you want to learn more, find the Sub 2K. It reads the Sub 2000, Sub 2K Gen 3. Visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Well, a couple of things, actually. I think it really demonstrates how it's astonishing that we are not standing firmly with Israel, and there should never be any kinds of conditions on all that. When a nation can launch hundreds of drones towards Israel, and I'm not going to be talking about conditions ever. And second, I think that also was Iran had to have some fireworks after Israel smoked that Iranian general. And I'm here for that. And I think it's just a matter of theater part of it as well, too. And it demonstrates how unstable things are and why we need to lean in and stand with Israel.
So after they smoked that general, and I'm here for that. Golly, I'm here for that. I'm here for him being for that. Yeah. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. Hoodie pass, man. That's all I got to say. Two words. Hoodie pass. He can wear a hoodie all day long. He just does not GAF. Why can't other Democrats be like him? I can't even believe I'm saying this. I actually think it's probably better that he won instead of Oz, right?
Yeah, who knows where
we'd be. No, yeah, who knows? Welcome back. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this first hour. That was John Fetterman talking to Jake Tapper. And he's like, yeah, that dude got murked, and I'm here for that. Oh, my gosh. And I, that's my assessment also, is that Iran needed to kind of make it look like they're not total weenies. And so they go, we're going to send over some slow-moving drones, a drone attack that, you know, you can, it's like watching, it's the equivalent of an aerial mobility scooter, you know, just across the sky. I mean, you can see it coming from a million miles away. And they didn't they put, somebody said they had a spotlight on them to make it easier for the Saudis to shoot down. Because the Saudis were helping Israel deflect some of this stuff. And then, of course, the Iron Dome was in play, and the U.S. was assisting, and Jordan was assisting. And, yeah, this is a different... I like seeing the cooperation, but that's sort of what it feels like. And one of the reasons that maybe you had some of this cooperation was because, you know, people knew that Iran looked like a bunch of weenies and they needed to try to pretend to be tough for a hot second. And that was the saving face thing, but it was a huge win for Israel. I'm watching video of what happened this morning. Did you see the trash babies shutting down the highway leading to Chicago O'Hare again? Did you guys see this? People were having to walk on foot to catch their flights. I'm going to tell you something. I would beat you to ever-loving death with my carry-on. I will beat you to death on the highway with my carry-on. I will take it and swing it up over my head like Tarzan. I will beat you to death with my carry-on. Can you imagine? And O'Hare is a nightmare anyway. Oh my gosh, it's a nightmare airport. But people were having to literally get out on foot and go. Now, why were the trash babies shutting this down again?
Pro-Palestine.
Oh, it was Hamas souls, right?
Okay.
I said it. It's a word. We're going with that now. Those people?
Yep, those people.
They were mad because Hamas, they love Hamas? Good. This. They're trash babies. It was all the outbound lanes on Kennedy Expressway. And
they're upset at the FO part of that FA.
Why did police just let it happen?
Thank you. It's supposed to be the most secure part of when you travel. Is the airport not the most secure area?
Yeah.
Or at least supposed to be.
Yeah.
Who the hell's letting this happen?
Oh, I'm looking at it now. Stop the dead, free baby dead. I would have dragged them all out by the scruff of their neck. Yeah. Or, you know what? If you're going to block a highway, it seems like you're trying to ask for suicide. You shouldn't be able to block a highway. That's not protest. That's inconveniencing everybody else. That's not a protest. No one, you don't get to block a highway. I can't believe that was allowed to happen.
Yes.
They were out there with their buckets and their stupid signs and stop genocide. Free this non-existent state that's being taken over by colonizers. And it was given to us in 2005, literally with everything like a welfare gift. But whatever.
Which political party runs Chicago?
Democrats.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah. I'm watching video of people literally getting their suitcases out and trying to make it on foot. Oh my gosh, I would have lost my mind. I hate airports anyway. I just don't like... Sidebar. It's already a mess going to the airport, right? Do you know the thing that I hate the most? We got some other stuff to get into, but do you know the thing that really, where my rage is at its all-time peak? It's at the moment that you're going through TSA. And specifically, the gray bins. Can we just have a quick conversation about this? Have you been to the airports where they've changed it up now? Have you been to where there's like two little conveyors and then there's a gray bin that goes like there's slots of them, yeah. And you have to stand in front of the slot and take your gray bin, and people lose their minds. Like the TSA, now not everybody, but this one chick lost her mind. I can't remember what airport I was at. You got to get in front of the slot. You got to get in front of the slot. And I was like, you can shut your slot right now. Yeah. But you have to, and then they make it, you have to put everything, including your carry-on in the gray bin. And it's like different. There's nothing that's consistent every airport. And I've been to airports where they're like, you got to take your liquids out. You don't got to take your liquids out. It's inconsistent. So I'm getting there and there's no signage. There's no signage that says you don't have to take any of this stuff out. And I'm already, the lady's losing her mind because, oh my gosh, there's an open slot. And, you know, you got to get in there and get your bin. And then she's like, you can put your carry-on in your bin. And I've been to airports, too, where they tell you don't put a carry-on in a bin if you're in front of, you're at the one that has the slot stuff. And touching them, knowing everybody else has touched them, and it's so weird, and I can't stand it. And then when you get to the other side, the people who stand there, and they get, and after getting their stuff, they continue standing there, and then they dress. They dress. It's their dressing area. I don't know if you knew that, but for some people, it's their dressing room. It's where they put their stuff on. You're trying to get your stuff. and they won't move, and they're there, and I just...
You're forced, though, to undress at TSA. You got to take your belt off.
Oh, the whole thing enrages me. Yeah, it's so stupid, and I run my mouth the whole time. And I don't do the most... I do not have the most Christian behavior whenever I'm forced to go into the tubes. You know what I mean? Because I give a one-finger salute on both hands every time. I'm not going to lie. It's not the... Don't judge me. I'm not Barney, and I'm not your pastor. I'm trying, people, okay? I'm trying to be the shepherd here, Ringo. I just can't deal. Oh, my gosh. And... I'm one of the people that I think when I get mad, I'm like maybe scary, but I think it's just funny when I get mad because I just contort and I, you know. Ah!
I hate the idea you have to have a separate bin for every, like your shoes have to have a separate bin. Your computer has to have a separate bin.
But then you don't
bin.
Even have to take off your shoes then at every airport.
Belt and jacket and stuff have to have a separate bin.
It's a good thing you're making me take my belt off. I had a big giant bomb in it.
I don't
good
have to
thing.
Take like four or five of those big old gray bins with me. To do it.
I had somebody take out my electric toothbrush once. I'm not going to tell you what I said to them. I'm not, because I will get in a lot of trouble. Usually when people are nice, I'm nice. But when you're stupid, I am not nice at all. So I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. People are already stressed when they go to the airport. You throw these trash babies in there with it, and the police are just standing there. They're just standing there. Watching them, letting them do this. And then I love it how you have more of these D-bags that are running around taking pictures of these goofballs than you have people who are actually blocking the highway. Make that one make sense. Now, you know what? I really hope they do this ahead of the DNC. I hope these trash babies shut down the whole city for their little convention. That's going to be hysterical, because then you're going to see the full police state come out. Democrats don't like being inconvenienced. They like it if they're not being inconvenienced. But when you inconvenience them, then they're going to bring out the nightsticks. They're going to bring out those batons. They're going to bring them out. Just saying, it's going to be interesting. So we've in light of all these headlines about Iran, you guys remember that story from, was it earlier this year that it first came out that there was a spy that is a top Pentagon aide that has major security clearance? Did you guys hear about this? So it's a Pentagon official that some are saying, and by some I mean a lot, they're alleging that she's part of this covert influence campaign run by Tehran. She's like, apparently, and she works with the Tehran foreign ministry. Semaphore, you know, that big conservative website, Semaphore, so conservative. Like Reagan came back to life for a second, was like, congrats on your conservatism. And then he went back to the grave. That's how conservative they are.
Not at all like that.
But they reported that she literally is part of a whole operation from Tehran's foreign ministry. And there were all these receipts that they published. She's keeping her job and her security clearance. You know, the big Iranian spy. During a time when you have people saying death to America here in Dearborn. And, you know, Iran's doing all the stuff that they're doing. She's been chief of staff to the Pentagon's Assistant Secretary for Defense for Special Operations and Low Intensity Conflict. She was previously a key aide to suspended Iran envoy Robert Malley. And remember all of the, I don't know if you guys remember Robert Malley, but that all hit the fan when he had ties to Tehran that just came out. And yeah. So I'm just wondering, I'm like, how serious are you people about actual national security when you have Iranian spies that are there in the Pentagon and they've kept all of their classified security clearances? I mean, she's been there since 22. This has been known for a while. I mean, they got pictures of her and with different officials. But yeah, the Robert Malley, he was suspended because all these emails show that he was working with Tehran to basically lobby. They say to pressure, it's lobbying, on behalf of Iran to get preferential treatment. So she's keeping her job. She's not allowed. I mean, their lawmakers are furious. She's keeping her job. That's unbelievable. You know, but they're really serious about, you know, terrorism, guys. They're real serious about it. Now, the one of the big scoops that came out yesterday was Biden told Netanyahu that the U.S. won't support an Israeli counterattack on Iran. This is where it gets weird. We're going to talk to Stephen Yates about this, because if this was a if this was a move by Iran to save face, I mean, it's Israel's to escalate if they want. I'm not going to tell a country to restrain themselves after decades of being kicked around. I'm just not. I don't think that we have any obligation to be part to anything, but I don't think that we should get in anybody's way either, depending on how they want to do this. But that's going to be the big thing to figure out. They've had their war cabinet meet, I think, twice already within the past 24 hours. In the meantime, the U.S. has moved forces, more forces, over to the Middle East. Not so much as a show of we're going to get involved, but it's more of a show of don't, literally do not target any of our assets, because we do have some assets over there. We've moved more forces to the Middle East. We had an aircraft carrier that can intercept missiles that was sent to the Red Sea, which is being viewed as a big warning to Tehran. We've already had a couple. Didn't we have a carrier strike group that we moved over there already? And then we had what one Navy friend told me was the ship that has the big bosses on it that went over there as well, kind of as a show of force. But just, you know, getting some things in play. You know, there's peace through strength. There's some peace through strength there. When we come back, it's as I said, it's National Government Theft Day. We're going to talk a little bit about taxes. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about whether or not, I mean, did Biden know that Iran was going to attack? And there's a lot of discussion that this was really telegraphed to help Iran save face. But here's my question. If everybody knows this, are you really saving face if it's coming out that it was that they were so, you know, handled with such kid gloves and babied to make their egos feel better? Is that really saving face? Honestly, we'll discuss all of that. We got some culture stuff and more. Our partners over at Patriot Mobile, whenever anyone's wrong on the internet and I'm on my phone, they get told, and Patriot Mobile makes it happen. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. Everything else is just commie garbage. I'm not even joking. Like, if you have not switched to Patriot Mobile, you are literally, you're actually putting money in the pot for DEI advancement and advocacy. Abortion on demand, taxpayer funded as a form of birth control advocacy, gun control advocacy. If you have not switched to Patriot Mobile and saved yourself some money, because they got plans for everybody, families of all sizes, businesses of all sizes, singles, happy people, sad people, all the people, they've got plans for everybody. Free activation using code Dana. And they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team that make it easy to switch. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is entirely yours. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana. Have your money work for you, not against you. Also call 972-PATRIOT. Promo code Dana gets you free activation. So make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I just want to note that a short time ago, we had a graphic up earlier that said that President Joe Biden would be addressing the nation. That was an error. We just want to clarify that, and we regret that mistake. But I do want to go to MJ Lee at the...
It wasn't a mistake. He was going to do it. And then, I don't know, they decided, the White House then said, no, he's not going to.
It's that Adderall shortage.
He cut his beach vacation short. Imagine, though, going to your beach house for a beach vacation, knowing, I mean, we had headlines like Iran's going to do something like all last week. Imagine being that guy, going to your beach house for beach house vacation, and then having to come back early because Iran did something, and you knew this since last week. That's just so dumb. Golly. I had this meme that I put, that I retweeted with it, where it's Mr. Burns getting shot up with something, and his eyes are all big, except it has Joe Biden hair. Same thing. So I can imagine that, though. And then they called a lid. He had no appearances. Not, oh, my gosh. He was going to... The word it was that the... Gossip was that he was going to do a taped address to the nation, and then he didn't, because they thought, no, let's not do that.
Too much production.
Too much production. They probably had too many jump cuts in it. Can you? Isn't that the proper term? That's the proper term, Juan, yeah. Right? Yeah, where you're like talking and then you mess up and you got to, because that's what he does. If you notice, even if he does like a 60-second video, there's like a million cuts in it. A million. And it's really weird. And I feel like they try to mask it by acting as though, no, it's just different camera angles. But no, that's not what they're doing. They're doing it because he can't get a sentence out of his head. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. So this is just, I don't know, it's wild. So coming up, I'm supposed to be moderating a Republican Party debate on Saturday, next Saturday, for a congressional seat here in Texas, in my county. And I got to tell you, it's getting annoying because one candidate won't do it if this person's involved and the other candidate's not going to do it at all. And one way to make the moderator hostile is by making it difficult for the moderator to prepare for said debate. Let's just put that out there right now. The best way to get a hostile moderator is to make said moderator unhappy because you're having a petty slap fight. I can't do it if this person's involved. I can't do it if that person's involved. Oh my goodness. Just show up and do your damn job or drop out of the race already. Nobody cares. We're busy. We're having the government steal our money today. Stay with us. We're going to talk about that coming up. Second hour on the way. Don't go anywhere. We'll find you. It's our friends at Black Rifle Coffee. I mean, when you've had bad coffee and then you have a good cup of coffee, you really appreciate the good cup of coffee all the more. I like Black Rifle Coffee. I drink it every day. Everything else is communist garbage. It's just swill. That's all it is. But Black Rifle Coffee, they have just the best roasts. Every bag is roasted right here in the US of A. Unlike other fakers that say they roast their bags in the US of A, but they don't. They roast them in a foreign country, and then they bring them all over to the United States and white label it and lie to you. That's not what Black Rifle Coffee does. They have actual like brick and mortar facilities here in the US and Utah and Tennessee where they roast their coffee 5 days a week. And they veteran owned, veteran run, and they hire veteran and active duty. And they serve premium coffee to people who love America. Now, everything, any kind of coffee that you want, whether it's the ground whole bean, which is what I get, K-Cups, ready to drink, they have it. My jam for the past 3.5 weeks now has been Tactus Squatch. Sometimes, I don't know, I switch it up, but right now I'm in my rhythm and I have the Tactus Squatch every day, sometimes a couple times a day. But you can find it with the K-Cups and whole bean and ground, all of that. You can also find kettles, grinders, mugs, so much more. When you join the Black Rifle Coffee Club, and this is really the way to do it, because you pick what coffee you want, how often you want it delivered, and then it shows up on your front porch with free shipping. So you don't have to pay for shipping. That's so nice. So save money right now at blackriflecoffee.com using code Dana. That'll get you 20% off. Try it for yourself today. Get your the best coffee that you can buy, and it's affordable, and you're supporting veteran and first responders. blackriflecoffee.com. Order today. Get 20% off using code Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com.
A lot of people watched what happened in the skies over the Middle East overnight, and they are wondering this morning, has this now escalated into a wider war?
I don't think there's any reason that it needs to.
Are we now in the midst of a wider war?
The president doesn't believe that it needs to move in that direction whatsoever, Kristen.
I don't think it does. I mean, I know Kirby can't say that because he's got to keep some kind of something open there, but I really don't think that it does. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're also going to talk with Stephen Yates later on in the show in our third hour about some of this. Welcome back, Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. And you can listen coast to coast. You can find us all over the place. We're live streaming on X and Rumble. YouTube, we have the condensed version of the show with all the breaks removed and all that stuff. So and channel 347 DirecTV. So we're all over the place. And don't forget Substack, Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. I don't think that it will, simply because, as I said, I feel as though if you're asking my opinion on what I think happened or how this went down, I think that it was well telegraphed beforehand. Apparently, Turkey was notified by Iran that they were going to be doing this in the first place. And it looks like Jordan, the Saudis, everybody was aware that this was coming. And Iran threw some, what I call them, the mobility scooters of the air. There are drones out there that were easily, for the most part, completely overtaken by the Iron Dome. And then there were other things that were shot down by this. The Saudis were helping out. Jordan as well was helping out. The U.S. as well. And then Iran quickly released a statement saying that was all they were going to do. I'm not kidding. That's what they had said in their own language in Farsi. They released a statement saying that they were done. That was it. That was their response. As though, like, this is we're flexing, but this is the extent of it, because they know that if they were to escalate further, there are enough people in the Middle East that dislike Iran that it would not work well for them. Russia doesn't have the ability to back them because they're dealing with Ukraine, and China is not going to back what it views as a loser. They're not going to back losers. And with the Saudis, and then UAE's been standing with Israel, the Abraham Accords and everything else, it's not going to go well for them. So there's really nowhere else they could go. And I want to touch on a couple of things, because I keep seeing these people go, oh, well, you know, that strike in Damascus, that was a consulate or something like that. And it wasn't. Let's correct this lie right now. The building that, and this was the general that masterminded the October 7th terror attack on Israel, right? This was the general that was taken out, that was in Damascus. And they've been, what I've heard from the Hamas apologists is that Israel started this because they took out this, or as Fetterman said, they smoked that general in Damascus. No, actually, the guy in Damascus was literally the guy that masterminded and planned. He organized all of October 7th. So let's get it right. I love these people that abridge the timeline to a point where it's convenient for their narrative. That's number one. Number two, it was not a consulate. It wasn't an embassy. It was not a state facility. It was literally the local headquarters of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. Literally the local headquarters of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is the exact opposite of a consulate or an embassy. So stop. And why is it important to note that it's a member of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps? That's a terrorist organization. Our country literally has the Revolutionary Guard Corps as a listed terror organization. So it was a terror headquarters in Damascus. That's fair game. So all these people that are out there saying that it was a consulate or it was an embassy, they have no idea what they're talking about. Disregard them. They are just noise. And everyone that was struck there from the, they had five other Iranian officials. All of them were involved in the planning and execution of October 7th. That's it. So that's the building. End of story. So I don't know why people keep saying, oh, because it's not. It isn't. Now, the other neat thing, I was watching, I don't know if you've seen the video of all of this. Of the Iron Dome, and what did they call them? The exo-atmospheric strikes. Remember when people were going at Reagan for Star Wars, by the way? So the exo-atmospheric strikes, the way I understand it, those were strikes from space that neutralized the rockets that were coming over. Because it was some drones and it was some ballistic missiles and rockets. So apparently, they were able to intercept a missile. Isn't that kind of some of the Star Wars stuff? The exo-atmospheric, because it was outside of the Earth's atmosphere. Yeah. Interesting. So this was a joint venture that the United States has with Israel and Boeing. So you have the construction, the building, et cetera, that Boeing is involved with, that they oversee. Again, joint venture with the United States and Israel. And then you have some of these other defense contractors on this. And we share the tech. And we share the construction of it, essentially. So we're getting some tech out of this. There's a military benefit for us with that. But it was pretty wild watching some of that stuff, because it looked like lasers exploding in the sky. I don't know how else to describe it. It was very interesting. But all of this was made possible because Iran made $80 billion in illicit oil sales. Free Beacon had a piece not long ago where they looked at the Iranian policies from the Biden administration, $80 billion since the administration took office, and they relaxed sanctions. They, in fact, I would say they rolled back entirely the sanctions, which were barring them from earning money on their oil sales. I mean, $80 billion from these sales. Their exports hit a five-year high because of this. And this was all part of that deal that they were trying to redo in 2015. and this was under Obama Biden, they were trying to revamp that Iranian deal, and that was all part of it. And that allowed them to give a lot of cash. That's like when a lot of cash started being freed up to go to Hamas, right? But the Free Beacon had a really good rundown on some of this, all of the different sanctions that had been relaxed that contributed to that $80 billion in sales. Whether it's the exports, the tankers, they have a huge portion of oil that they ship to China. In fact, China is one of Tehran's top customers. And their exports, their oil exports have hit a five-year high. And that is, let me pull this up. This five-year high is directly, I mean, it's directly related to that. I mean, their revenue has soared under the lax sanctions from the administration. We have stopped seizing their tankers that they are sailing and operating illegally, even though apparently what Congress was given was a lot of intelligence about these Iranian oil tankers that are not supposed to be doing business. That's supposed to be part of a sanction, but we stopped enforcing it. That's their number one source of income over there. And all of their oil exports from 21 to 22, they increased by over 35%. And that meant that the Biden administration was no longer paying attention to any of the sanctions. This was even before they announced that they were relaxing the sanctions. So the announcement came as just a formality. They weren't doing anything to prevent the sales. And by the way, this is what funds the attacks on other nations' tankers going through the Strait of Hormuz. This is where you see the Houthis attacking vessels. The Houthis are funded also by Iran, in addition to Hezbollah, in addition to Hamas. Those attacks have all increased. I mean, you can pinpoint it specifically since the Biden administration stopped enforcing those sanctions. And so they were supposed to, I mean, it benefits China, Syria, and Venezuela. Iranian oil sales via Free Beacon, they were $44 billion as of August 22. That is 77% up from 2020. And this piece that was over, let me pull this up, because there were a couple sources here. It was Wall Street Journal, Free Beacon, and elsewhere. Back in just 2022, they had made $45 billion in sales at that point. $27 billion of which was going to China. So that's a lot. And they've been able as a direct result. So when you hear, you know, Kirby asked about these sanctions, they absolutely did relax sanctions. I mean, that was part of Iran's punishment, and they weren't following through with it. Not at all. So we've been discussing this this whole situation and how I think it also makes it difficult for the Biden administration, particularly going into 2020, going into November, because he's trying to keep certain demographics happy. Certain demographics. There was a really good, David Harsanyi had a very good column over the weekend in which he said Joe Biden is now chasing the death to America voter. And he's not wrong. They had, you guys, I think we played some of the video of the, she was sentenced, she got in trouble, that Rudy Patel. She's from California. And this Rudy Patel chick, she's the pro-Gaza. Isn't she the pro-Gaza, like whatever? She was on social media and she's involved in, she was in California and she was speaking before the Bakersfield City Council. And she literally threatened to kill them. Like she absolutely, like literally threatened to kill them. And she's a very prominent activist. And she had said in this speech, she was arguing for a ceasefire, and she was speaking up for, and she was standing for Hamas, and then she got in trouble. She was like sentenced. She had said, quote, I don't have, she said, you guys are all horrible human beings. She says, Jesus would have killed you himself, and I hope someday someone brings the guillotine and kills all you blankers. Yeah. She actually said that on video. Oh, and then she added, quote, she goes, we'll see you at your house. We'll murder you. She went to St. Louis University, Kane noted. She's from St. Louis. She literally said that in front of the Bakersfield City Council. So that's like an actionable, that's a death threat, because she was actually threatening public officials. So they immediately, she was arrested and she was taken to prison because they said it was, you know, she had It was a death threat. And then she broke down in court. She got 16 felony charges, including terrorism. And she was in court crying. Well, there you go. I mean, that's what, you know, you're a terrorist. You're a literal terrorist, Rudy Patel. So go to jail. Don't pass go. Do not collect $200. But that's what we're, the death to America, folks. That's her. Rudy Patel. She feels that way. I would honestly, I'd be like, okay, here's a bag of your belongings. We packed them up for you. Drop her off at the border and be like, bye. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and go. She can say that here because there's no consequence. Now, there's one thing to engage in free speech. I have to say this for the drive-bys. And then there's another thing to literally stand in front of officials and tell them that you're going to personally murder them. Three different ways. She said it three times. So that's not protected speech. So I think people need to understand the concept of free speech when they talk about what is speech that is legally protected against litigation and speech that is not. And when you stand in front of the city council and you look elected officials right in the face and you tell them you're going to kill them. Yeah. That's not protected speech. And she found out the hard way. Speaking of protected speech, I always get mad when I see the left go after satirical sites. Have you seen Babylon Bee and Carrie Lake? So Babylon Bee made a joke, I think it was Friday, because Carrie Lake ran to the center and she actually came out against the new statute in Arizona as it pertains to abortion. So they have an abortion ban with exceptions for, you know, the life of the mother, et cetera, et cetera. Like every state has these exceptions. You just can't use it as a form of birth control. So she came out against the law. And Babylon Bee joked, oh, Carrie Lake, something, something. She's, you know, basically arguing in favor of murdering babies or whatever. So both like Carrie Lake's campaign and her Stan accounts, like run by her campaign officials, began arguing with the Babylon Bee over the weekend. They said that the Babylon Bee needs to stick to valid satire, which I cannot think of anything more ironic in my entire life. Why is Carrie Lake running such a crappy campaign? Stop arguing with satire sites. Find a defensible position as it relates to abortion in Arizona, because literally we played audio last week of Lake defending the very law that she's trashing right now, verbatim. Happy to play it for you anytime. She needs to find and keep a consistent position on life in Arizona and not deflect by using leftist talking points and leftist attacks and going after a satire site. It makes you look like a clown show. Stop it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I apologize. I went really, really long last segment, so I'm robbing you a bit. So both directions of the Golden Gate Bridge have been shut down because of a pro-Hamas protest. Both of them. It's blocked I-880 in Oakland. So if you're out there, you're going to be sitting in some traffic. Bird flu, they said, is spreading to more farm animals. They're trying to scare you. And they're also looking in New York City how to introduce birth control into rats. Yeah, we got a lot on the way. Apologize for the short segment. I'll make it up to you coming up. Stick with us. Back in a moment.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Iran launched an unprecedented aerial attack against Israel, and we mounted an unprecedented military effort to defend Israel. Together with our partners, we defeated that attack.
كما تعلمون شنت إيران هجوما جويا غير مسبوق ضد إسرائيل وقمنا نحن من طرفنا بجهد عسكري غير مسبوق دفاعا عن إسرائيل وبالتعاون مع شركائنا قمنا بدحر هذا الهجوم.
The United States is committed to Israel's security.
والولايات المتحدة ملتزمة بأمن إسرائيل.
We're committed to a ceasefire that will bring the hostages home and preventing conflict from spreading so beyond what it already
This is
has.
Also dumb.
Hamas would have to agree to that.
Yeah, that Hamas has to agree to the ceasefire, like the one that they had in place October 6th. So that's first off, welcome back, Dana Lash with you. I forget that I'm not forgetting to say hi to you. I just get full of responses immediately after we play this audio. What did he say in the very beginning?
I said there's a ribbon.
It was like,
as you know, Iran launched an unprecedented aerial attack against Israel.
Oh my gosh, unprecedented attack. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine him and Karine Jean-Pierre trying to have a conversation with each other?
Man. Don't make fun of his stutter, though.
He can't talk. He doesn't know who he is half the time. He forgets what he forgets he's president. Golly. All right.
It was so literally just a week ago that he was making a speech and said, send me to the Senate. He does. He is forgetting that he's running for president.
I think he also forgot that he sent all this money over to Iran by allowing them, by unfreezing these sanctions. I love the Babylon Bee. This headline is so spot on. Quote, White House claims $6 billion to Iran, absolutely not related to the exact $6 billion worth of rockets being fired into Israel.
No relation.
Isn't it fungible? No.
No connection.
Exactly $6 billion. No connection at all. None. Good heavens. Whose vote does he want? Why is it so hard for Democrats to go, you know what? Knock it off. Stop picking on Israel and stop screaming death to America. You're in Michigan, for crying out loud. Okay? You're in Michigan. The Supremes got started. Like, didn't they get started in Detroit?
Yeah.
Like, you honor the legacy of this state and don't make it known for death to America nonsense. Motown, for crying out loud. It's Motown. Don't be like death to America. You're in Motown. Shut up. What is the matter with you? The irony of like saying that, where you would get murked out of nowhere for saying that in the Middle East. That's why people do it. I'm all for free speech, but I'm also for the consequences of free speech. Now, free speech doesn't mean I can say whatever I want. No one can say anything else in return. That's not free speech. That's you claiming that you support free speech while denying others their free speech. Not the same. But that's what I keep seeing. Let me pull this up. I think I had this on my rundown for this time. But where's this audio? We had audio of this, didn't we? What? I just saw it and I lost it because I have the attention span of a squirrel. Is it 12? I think it's 12. So is this the celebratory one when people got all excited after it was announced that there were rockets and that? Yeah. Listen to this. So this was a ceasefire only for one side, Israel, never for Hamas. A pro-Hamas gathering in Toronto, in Canada, on April 13th when they announced that Iran had launched missiles and drones towards Israel. Listen to this.
Everyone, I would like to make a quick announcement. Interrupt the protest to bring you this announcement. The Islamic Republic of Iran has just sent tens of drones towards Israel.
Cheer. There needs to be some Borat level trolling of this stuff. This is Toronto. They're supposed to be like happy maple syrup loving Canadians. Like when you think of Canada, you know, you think of that. And that's, but what they're cheering. Can we stop pretending that this is about wanting any kind of coexistence or anything else? Stop it. This is about one entity that wants one nation and its people to not exist anymore. And then the other side is, we want to exist and we'd like for you to exist also, but not if you're going to keep trying to murk us. That's the reality. That's the situation here. So let's stop pretending that it's about anything else, because it's not. It's a very black and white area. There's no gray area here. Okay? There's no gray area. When you, for like 20 plus years, when you're messing around and killing people and raping women to death and, you know, shooting missiles and suicide bombers and all this stuff, and then October 7th, they're going to respond. I don't think that they need to ask the United States for permission or for advice. I think Israel just needs to go in and do what Israel needs to get done, and then that's it. Now, as for their response to Iran, I would love for us to not get into World War III, but I'm not going to tell Israel to show restraint. I feel like it's weird for me, of all people, to tell someone to not show restraint. You know?
Seems right on.
I mean, I'm just saying. I don't know if you saw me over the weekend. I was really trying to behave myself. My friend David Lumbaugh, he was he was laughing at me. Because he's like, because some of my responses were probably a little snarky. For those of you who follow me on X, I'm sorry on some days. But I usually try to stay off, if you notice. I try to stay off all internet on the weekend. I've been really trying to be very well behaved about that and very consistent with it. But I, you know, obviously you got Iran launch and stuff, so I had to check. Then I got all these turds in my mentions, right? And I don't even remember. One of them called me a Zionist whore, which, sidebar, no, but what an amazing punk band name, right? Like, that's a great punk band name. Who has not done that yet? That's amazing. But anyway, I can't remember. I said something that I can't repeat on air, and then I told him to go. He can go shave his back now. And that's where David Lumbaugh was like, he was just dying. I'm like, it is what it is, man. I'm trying real hard. It's really difficult to indulge the fantasy that this conflict is about anything other than the way that I just laid it out. It's beyond. And then there are the people who I see get out there and I they say, oh, well, you know, Israel funded this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Funded what? Oh, they were funding Hamas. You mean Israel, the one country over there surrounded by enemies on all sides and the sea at its back, was trying to figure out the best way to play to keep its enemies divided and to keep itself safe? Wow. Welcome to geopolitics, genius. One of them is this old MMA fighter. I think he got hit too many times in his head. He's a moron. He gets out there and runs his mouth. I had to unfollow him. I'm like, you're making me feel like I'm drunk just reading your tweets. It's that stupid. You're killing my brain cells. Welcome to geopolitics, Slick. Am I being mean right now? Good. Sometimes I'll feel like I need to be nicer and then the feeling quickly passes. So I wanted to touch on, because I got a million little things too to hit as well for you. We got the Hunter Biden thing real quick. The judge denied, judge denied Hunter Biden's bid to toss out the federal gun charges for lying about being on dope when he bought his firearm. Remember, he lied about all that? Yeah. He faces up to 25 years in prison. So the judge, Mary Ellen Noriega, refused to throw out the gun case brought against him. His lawyers say that it was politically motivated. So he could go for 20. He could go to jail for 20 years. Now, what I am most fascinated about in this case is what his defense is going to be. Now, hold up, because he has said before, and I'm not engaging in a debate about like a white collar crime and losing your natural rights, et cetera, et cetera. I'm looking at it specifically as to what the law is right now. I think it's going to be hysterical if Hunter Biden tries to use the whole the defense of this. You cannot abridge a natural right with this, because there has been that case. And remember, it was Amy Coney Barrett. And I wrote about it at the time. Amy Coney Barrett, when she was a circuit judge, she was on a case where she had weighed in with a decision saying she did not believe anything less than being a danger to oneself and others was a way to forfeit your natural rights. Meaning, and it had to do with this guy. Let me pull this up. Because I wrote about it actually quite a bit. It had to do with this this guy who ended up getting named a prohibited possessor. It was Cantor v. Barr, the Cantor v. Barr case. This individual had been arrested. He had a disqualifying felony conviction, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in this case, and this was back in, I think this was like 2019. This guy was convicted of mail fraud because he was like sending out these like shoe inserts. I don't want to get too much into what the case is, but basically they ended up successfully getting him on a federal charge. And because he was using the post office and sending, you know, involved in sending stuff out in the mail, they were able to get him on mail fraud. So that was a felony charge. So that made him a prohibited possessor, and he was going to try to buy a gun. He couldn't buy a gun. So anyway, Cantor v. Barr ended up going before. Her argument was this guy was not a dangerous criminal. So therefore, she disagreed that his natural right of Second Amendment firearm ownership could not be forfeit or struck down because he was not a dangerous criminal. And she believed that danger, going back to even the statutes during the colonial times, she thought that was, you know, really the big factor in making that determination about a forfeiture of natural rights. I bring this up because that's literally the argument Hunter Biden wants to use to defend himself. They've already said it. His lawyer already came out and said it. Dude, can you imagine? Like, you're I want to watch this happen. He would destroy Democrats inadvertently on the Second Amendment if he did that. Can you imagine being the president of the United States and your coked out kid is actually going to undo trying to undo everything that you've ever done related to firearm law? I want to watch this happen. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to have some popcorn. I'm going to drink a soda. I'm going to watch this happen. Oh my gosh. So this is a case to watch because it's going to be fascinating to see what happens with us. And then I have a million things, like I said, to get with you today. Pull this up. We're going to get to the dude who beat all the chicks in the track and field meet. But did you see what happened in Japan? They had thousands of people who went out to protest Japan joining the World Health Organization Pandemic Global Health Accord. Thousands of people came out on April 13th against the WHO. Can I be real? Literally never seen a Japanese protest. It looks very polite. Gotta say, everyone's just, you know, clapping politely. There's no screaming. They're very, very polite. But that's wild. Thousands of people. They're apparently very against the lockdowns and everything under the previous pretense, which was shown to be fraudulent. Never saw that. Did you have the Japanese turning up by the thousands to protest the World Health Organization, Kate?
Nope.
On your bingo card? I didn't have that on my bingo card either. Coming up, we've got, wait until you see, we got some cultural stuff. There was a track and field meet, and this dude just beat these chicks in this race, and it's all caught on camera. It is a huge story over the weekend. I'm trying to figure out why. I would not have stepped on the track. I would not have competed because immediately you're already at a disadvantage. We're going to discuss that. The guy who's in Reacher, he needs to shut up. Alan Richson needs to stop talking. Because he's making me not want to watch a stupid show.
What?
I cannot stand people who get so political and dumb about it that they make it to where I can't watch you. You poison yourself in my mind. An actor, one of the reasons that certain actors are so good is because they prioritize their craft more than they prioritized the ego fellation that comes with giving their hot take on a political issue. And he apparently cannot avoid that bait. So we got to have this conversation. We got a lot still to get into. We got Florida Man. My gosh, we got Florida Man coming up. I need to go.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I am trying to get around this headline. So you know you can't bring guns into airports, right? They don't even, you can't even bring a bullet. You can't even bring anything that's bullet shaped. You know, I'm going to make some jokes here. This guy brought a firearm and it was loaded into the airport, but he tried to conceal it with toilet paper is the part that gets me. It's really hard for me to, like, this guy's from Lakeland. He walked into Tampa International Airport. He was trying to get on a flight to Vegas. And he unloaded his backpack. And apparently, like, he forgot, I guess. I understand, like, this is why I always think you should never, ever just use your range bag or, like, range gear for everyday stuff. Because maybe he forgot that he had something in there. I don't know. But I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. But then he realized, oh, my gosh, I got my gun. And he's on CCTV. He took it off the conveyor belt, walked into the bathroom, wrapped it in toilet paper to try to hide it. And then clearly it was found. They had to evacuate the whole terminal. They had to delay all these flights.
Is there anything you can conceal with toilet paper?
No, literally nothing. I mean, gum, if you're throwing gum away. I don't know. I'm just like, these headlines, this Florida man is an accused serial police impersonator. He was arrested again. So he's been, they didn't even say, they just said multiple times. They didn't even actually give me a number. This guy's been accused apparently a ton of times in Florida of impersonating police officers. Jeremy DeWitt, 44, was booked for failure to report a change in vehicle ownership. He also had a warrant out of his for his arrest. He apparently would just like dart around traffic and make people stop their cars and all of this stuff. And he's also a convicted sex offender. Wow. In 2019, he got in trouble as a funeral escort for pulling drivers over. What? This guy's a fruitcake. He was booked on $5,000 bond. What in the world? Oh my gosh. And a Florida man who's in his 50s says he feels sorry for young people. He says the 90s was easier. It was. He's not wrong. Stay with us. We have a whole other hour on the way. Stephen Yates will join us. We got culture, track and field. Stick with us.
I love property. And let me tell you something. If you care about your country, I'll read Ludwig von Mises and the six lessons of the Austrian Economic School.
I did not have reading about, you know, economic principles from a conservative perspective in a UFC shout out, but that happened. This was in the lightweight bout, UFC 300 on Saturday. You had fighter Renato Moicano who knocked out Jalen Turner. And that's what he said afterwards. That actually is awesome. I had retweeted it and I said, based, as the kids do. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the top of this third hour. I got Stephen Yates coming up. So apparently, I'm watching video of pro-Hamas protesters blocking the entirety of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. And apparently, I had asked, I go, why are cops not dragging them off? It's California. You know, it's kind of a rhetorical question. It's, you know, it's California. That's why. I had a friend who said, couldn't this constitute felony criminal offense of false imprisonment? Because these people have trapped the people on the bridge. I think,
you can't impede someone's travel. It's not legal.
Yeah.
It's not legal to impede someone's travel.
And the friend who said it, by the way, is an attorney. He says, I think this constitutes felony criminal offense of false imprisonment. I would totally do that. All these people should file charges. Now, do you see what happens when you allow people to like riot in the streets and shut down entire blocks and burn down buildings and all of that with total impunity? Can you see now what happens when you allow for that to take place for months and months and months on end in city after city after city across the United States? The Chaz Chop, you know, going down to Louisville, going down to Nashville, everywhere. So that's there it is. They said, stop the world for Gaza. Oh, shut up. That seems to me, I agree with that assessment. That seems like it is felony criminal false imprisonment. You're not allowing anyone, because these people are stuck. And I just, when are the police going to move in and drag them out? This has been going on for what, an hour now? When are the police going to move in and drag them off? I'd like to see that, because that's ridiculous. You can't, you can't just like shut the road down. I told you before, it should be applicable evenly. There was, I was at a protest one time and I had one foot on the sidewalk, one foot on the road. And man, I had an officer tell me that if he saw my foot on the road again, he would arrest me for disruption of traffic. And he's like, if I see it again, even one foot, I'm going to take you into custody. And I was like, what? You can't block roadways. You can't do that. That's like anywhere. I just, why the hell are people just letting a mob shut down a bridge? You're allowing terrorists to shut down a bridge. It's what it is. These people are terrorists. So I don't. They're like standing in front of cars, blocking the cars. It's happening on the Golden Gate both ways. It's both ways. So you can't. I mean, the whole bridge is at a standstill. How long are officials are going to allow for this to happen? How long are they going to allow this to happen? This is crazy. I bet the people there are livid. This is wild. That I mean, it's 2024, and we have all these little Nazis running around everywhere. I watched Masters of the Air, finished the last episode of Masters of the Air last night. That's a great series, by the way. If you haven't watched it, it's a really well-done series. There's an accompanying documentary with it as well. It's based on the true story. It looks at, you know, it's aerial warfare during World War II. And it's really, I think the special effects are done really well. The casting is really good. The story is well-paced. It's very well-written. It was a really good series, but I will never, it just kind of shocks me. I got to tell you, it really does shock me. They had one episode where they had a guy who, one of the characters stumbled across a concentration camp. And it reminded me of this interview that I saw with this World War II vet. I think he was in a tank division. And I saw it some years ago, and it was an older interview, but I'll never forget, because that guy's words haunted me. He had said that they came across one of the camps because they had been hearing about how bad these camps were as they were getting closer and closer, and they were in Germany at that point. And I could tell the guy that was talking was this, and forgive my French, but this is the only other way I can describe him. He was a hard ass. Like, you could tell, even though he was like an old great grandpa probably at that time. And this was some years ago. You could still tell. And this guy's, you know, in his younger days, this guy probably snapped some necks, right? And up until that point, you know, it was just straight no chaser. He was given, you know, his answers in this interview. And then he was talking about, you know, they came across these camps and they started seeing these bodies laying on the ground in piles. And some of them had those little prisoner uniforms on and some of them didn't. But he said the thing that got him, he said, is some of them were standing and they started walking towards me, meaning they were so malnourished and so in such bad shape that they didn't look any different from the dead ones on the ground. And then he just stopped talking. He didn't cry. He didn't get upset. He just stopped talking. And that was it. And that's how those guys did it. That's all he's going to say. You could tell it deeply, deeply gutted him. And the way I don't know, like I'm endlessly fascinated by, obviously I'm a huge World War I, World War II buff, and I'm very interested in what happened after in the buildup of the Cold War, because it is fascinating, the cult of hysteria that can erupt in different political movements. And within Germany, with World War II and the Nazism and all this stuff, and, you know, people making excuses for stuff that's allowed to happen, and the narratives, and, you know, the propaganda, the stuff, I see it happening the same as now. I see there's a lot of similarities between the stuff that I see with Gaza and the stuff now. There is no gray area. I mean, I think that the situation with Hamas and Iran and Hezbollah, I mean, these are people who just hate Jewish people. It's not even about they don't like Israeli government. They don't like Israel. They just hate Jews. That's it. They hate Jewish people. Bottom line. And I see a lot of these coddled progressives here in the United States that think it looks trendy to go along with it. They think it's trendy. They think that they're the ones that are standing with the underdog when they're being trolled so hard. Hamas and all these terrorists are not the underdog. They are some of the fattest, most well-fed, well-financed people on the planet. They use you like prostitutes. They use these activists like prostitutes. These people on the Golden Gate Bridge, they're just prostitutes for these fat warlords that run Hamas that are sitting fancy in Qatar. That's who these people are. They're useful, idiotic prostitutes for their stupid propaganda. For colonists, colonizers who wanted to take a strip of land from a sovereign nation, and then they made it an absolute hellscape and blame the sovereign nation that gave them as a welfare gift this entire this entire strip complete with infrastructure and buildings and irrigation and sewers and waters and even greenhouses, the whole nine yards. They have beachfront property that they could develop, but instead they're too busy being backwoods centuries ago terrorists. It's exactly, and they'll never change. And these people that are on the bridge doing this, you're all damn terrorists. Every single one of them, they're terrorists. You're either a terrorist or you're not a terrorist. If you're defending terrorism, you're a terrorist. If you're sympathizing with terrorists, you're a terrorist. If you're defending Hamas's actions, you're a terrorist. If you're defending it in the name of, quote, Gaza, you're a terrorist. If you use the word Palestine in a non-ironic manner, a completely made-up word for a fictional place that's never existed, you're a terrorist. There is no gray area. And I'm not even going to hear it. These are people who've called innocent people like me and you, they've actually called us terrorists for simply wanting our Second Amendment right of self-defense. This stuff, though, and shutting down bridges and that, this just makes me dislike you and your cause even more. You're inconveniencing people. You're holding them hostage like terrorists on a bridge, very fitting of a terrorist, for a terrorist cause. There's no gray area here. None. They need to get a snowplow out and vroom, go to town. Done with it. So a quick note on this. So I shared with you last hour this Mediaite story that was talking about Alan Richson. And it had to do, the headline says, Trump is a racist and a con man. Reacher star Alan Richson tortures Trump and Christian supporters in brutal viral interview. Now, the story's still up. This is what's weird. The story is actually still up. It's on my rundown. Kane, you can see, and the story is still up for you. It is. You can see it. And they quoted, they said it was an interview with a Hollywood Reporter. And I'm pulling this up. They said it was, he was talking about mental health and all this other stuff. And they said it was an interview with a Hollywood Reporter and that he had said this. Well, then apparently now, they're saying that they had inaccurately attributed a quote to Alan Richson, but the quote was sourced from an account on X that was not real. What? But the other story's still up. They said the article inaccurately attributed a quote to actor Alan Richson. The quote was sourced from an account on X. Well, what quote? Their correction sucks. Like what? What quote? Because they quoted this Hollywood Reporter story. And is this the, because, you know, when someone says something like this, you want to make sure that you're getting it. You want to get it correctly. He did this video where he says some say I can't be a Christian and play Reacher. And is this the quote that they're talking about? Because this is citing a video on Hollywood Reporter. But they said that, and they didn't say that it's on X. They said that he said Trump is a rapist and a con man, and yet the entire Christian church seems to treat him like he's their poster child, and it's unreal. I don't understand it. Now, is that from the video, since Mediaite hasn't made clear which quote?
Yeah, that's...
Because this, they're citing a video here. Hollywood Reporter quotes him from this video. Now, if that's what he's saying, I think that's lame and weak. And it makes me not want to watch his show anymore. Not because I don't care if people think differently than me, but when you're such a D-bag that I cannot separate you from the characters you play, and I don't think he's a good enough actor to do that. No offense, but he's not. I have issues, right? Then you ruin the character. Your character can't be a blank slate because it's haunted by the stuff that you brought, the baggage, the stuff that you said in previous interviews. That's an issue that you have to deal with. I mean, there's a reason why a lot of these actors and actresses, they don't really start spouting off politically until they've accomplished quite a bit, because they want to make sure that A, they're untouchable, but B, you kind of have to be really, really good at your craft to assume a role and chase away any other preconceived notions that a viewer or an audience goer would have in watching your performance. And that's also a part of acting. It's not just, you know, rehearsing your lines and all of that. You want to be able to separate anything that you've said or done out off set. You want to separate that from the character that you're playing. And that's why it gets problematic when people get super political, because it builds up a resentment in the minds of the audience, and they project that resentment onto that character, and they can't suspend their disbelief, and so they can't get in it, and it ruins the enjoyment, and it actually looks like a reflection of that person's acting skill as opposed to the environment that they created because they ran their mouth before the role, right? Unfortunate. We have more on the way. We got Stephen Yates coming up and a dude who beat all the chicks in a track meet. You're not surprised about that, are you?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, Kane does not, he's not a fan of this story. NASA discovered bacteria that apparently was like immortal, and now it's boosting sunscreen. They say when a bug in the ointment is a good thing. So, it is a specific bacteria, Bacillus pumilus, that was so resilient, cleaning solutions, including ultraviolet light and peroxide, won't kill it. And so I feel like maybe let's not let this loose in the U.S. or anywhere else, because they sent a specimen to ISS. Astronauts hung it outside the lab to see what would happen, and it didn't do anything to it. Not even cosmic radiation. So they're using it for UV resistance. They're for sunblock. I know. I don't know. I feel like this is how you get aliens. Let's see. Washington, D.C. tops. This is a lie. List of America's hardest working cities. No, this is a lie. We're skipping that. That's so stupid. A tourist was killed in a freak accident after being struck on the head by ringing a church bell in this. What? This was in Spanish tradition. They rang a bell, and it was in Tarragona, and visitors are invited up. They can, you know, ring the bell, and apparently this guy did it. It hit him on the head and killed him. Wow. So be aware of sharks and church bells. Got it. This is crazy. And let's see. A Butte man and his dog encountered a mountain lion. And a British Columbia man said that he crashed his car because he was reaching for fried chicken. Stephen Yates joins us next. We don't really have anything to talk about, just stuff.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now that we know that the Iranians do not listen to President Biden's public warnings, is there any regret here about unfreezing billions of dollars for Iranian leaders during the president's administration?
What unfreezing are you talking about?
He unfroze billions of dollars
for Iranian leaders?
Yeah.
Really? I don't think so.
Okay,
so first of all,
it's for humanitarian purposes, but doesn't that...
But you don't believe me.
Well, doesn't that free up money for them to spend on other stuff? Where do you get the money for an unprecedented number of munitions to fire at Israel?
So first of all, I'm betting if they're sitting in Tehran, they're taking it seriously when President Biden says he's going to defend Israel. We put skin in the game, a whole heck of a lot of it, and knocked almost everything out of the sky. So I'm betting they're taking it pretty seriously. And as for this unfreezing, none of that fund, none of those funds, funds set up in an account, by the way, by the previous administration, mm-hmm. goes directly to the supreme leader of the IRGC, can only be used for humanitarian purposes. Humanitarian. And we're watching that account very, very closely to make sure
they're watching that account, you know, just like they, with the same level of dedication that they watched, Afghanistan and the... airport there, and the Hamid Karzai airport, and the planes that were taken off with people falling off the sides, you know, with that level of dedication and attention to detail, they're watching this. Golly, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. I'm just going right to him. Stephen Yates. I've been waiting to talk to him all day. I'm like, let's just get through. We got to get to Stephen. You guys know Stephen Yates. He is an expert on everything foreign policy. His specific wheelhouse. I mean, he's an expert in everything. He's worked in two presidential administrations. He's an expert on China. He knows a lot about the Middle East. He's an expert on all of it. You can find him at YatesComms on X. Didn't call it Twitter, finally. And he's with the America First Policy Institute and chair of the China Policy Initiative. Stephen, thank God you're here with us today. Hey, thank you for joining us. I got to get your reaction to that, because correct me if I'm wrong, they had waiver after waiver that they even bypassed a congressional review, if I got this correctly, that enabled them to unfreeze billions and billions that were frozen as part of sanctions against Iran.
No, we had this debate openly, repeatedly, right away.
about what this magical word fungible means. That when, you know, if I stuff $5 in your left pocket, do you have an extra $5 to spend in your right pocket? Anyone with common sense knows if you unfreeze bank accounts that had been controlled because of sanctions or otherwise, it gives the target of those sanctions an opportunity to do a whole lot of other things. It's obvious. Everyone knows it. I thought, though, that Kirby accidentally perfectly summed up the Biden strategy, though. They are watchers. Mm. They're not leaders. They're not really scaring the bad guys. They're not encouraging or upholding our allies. They're watchers. They watch the TV. They watch what's happening in the world. And it's just kind of a reactive comms strategy. And that's all they are.
That's a good point.
The only follow-up they got to it is don't. And it turns out that contraction of two simple words is ignored by everyone. At this point, it's stunning to listen to Kirby do his routine and act like he's borderline offended by Ducey's question. But the question is obvious, and so is the answer. And his tap dance just doesn't quite cover the gap.
We're talking with our good friend Stephen Yates. I want you to judge my perception of what happened over the weekend with Iran and tell me if I'm just being too myopic about it or whatever. Because I feel as though they use drones, which I have been calling the mobility scooters of the air, the slowest things I can think of. I know that they had some rockets and some missiles. They had a ballistic missile, but it was mainly drones that they fired at Israel. I know that this all stemmed from that airstrike, that Damascus strike, which the general that Israel took out was the guy who masterminded the October 7th attack. He was not in a consulate, not in an embassy. He was literally in the Revolutionary Guard, or their guard headquarters there in Damascus. And that's a terror group. Our country defines them as a terror group. So fair game. They take this guy out. Iran gets mad. But it was interesting that it was just, it really seemed to me kind of like a weak response. Like they had to do something to save face because they were getting criticism from some of the proxies that, it's always the proxies that are out taking the heat and taking the hits. And then Iran just does what Iran does. They didn't really have a lot of other Arabic support. I mean, you didn't see Jordan supporting them. You didn't see the Saudis supporting them. They were joining the U.S. and helping to push back against that on behalf of Israel. It seemed like it was a babying effort to help Iran save face. What is your take on it?
Well, I don't think we can ever kind of minimize, not saying that you were, that any attempt by the Islamic Republic to have a direct hit on the state of Israel. And I think that the White House dangerously has tried to minimize that in the sense that they have overstated how much they expect our treaty ally to exercise restraint. Now, let's just think about this for a minute. If a swarm of drones were coming across the southern border and maybe 100%, maybe only 98% of them got knocked out of the sky, and we said, oh, look at how effective our air defenses were and how much money they wasted, I don't think Americans would or should take that too lightly. And where exactly these drones come from? Mm. You think the Iranians are just sitting there making them with their own two little hands? My guess is that there's others that are watching. What in the modern era of warfare does a swarm of AI-operated drones do against the U.S. and its allies? So my guess is that this was a learning expedition. I don't think that Israel can afford to say, well, it doesn't matter. They just needed to save face. I sort of get tired of the save face thing because of the Chinese statement about it. Of course, I'm very anti-Chinese statement.
I would never have guessed that about you. Never have guessed that.
I think there's more to this than the tit for tat that occurred over the weekend. I think that this is a test by the Iranians. I think that the Chinese are watching very, very closely. The most important thing to me is, does the concept of an alliance matter at all to anyone anymore? Because I see the world as very dangerous if we don't have alliances. We can like them, we can dislike them, we might want to make them stronger, but a world without alliances for the United States is very dangerous and costly for us. And so if Israel is our treaty ally and they're under attack, any equivocation about are we providing material support and who's good and who's bad needs to be black and white for this time.
That's a great point. Talking with our good friend Stephen Yates at Yates Comes on X. Because at the same time, you know, you hear, I've seen a number of lawmakers say, oh, well, Israel needs to show restraint. I don't think that we can tell Israel to show restraint. For decades, they've been taking this abuse from Iran in this area. Whatever they decide is what they decide. It seems unfair for anybody to tell them to show restraint when no one says this to all of their enemies that have been attacking them for decades.
Yeah, well, there isn't restraint in response to rape and murder. True. That's what happened on October 7th. And it was internationalized. And Iran was involved in that. Yes. It was using its proxies for that. So this is a continuation of the same struggle. It's just now more out in the open about who the main actors are. And they can't really complain about a very bad Soleimani 2.0 being out of their country doing bad terrorist-like things, getting greased. That's the least of what should be happening. And so I think in doing that, Israel was showing restraint. They didn't take them out in Iran. They didn't bring the fight to them. But my goodness, they've been anything. They've been restrained all along. I hope we would not be restrained similarly if our homeland were under similar attack.
Very good point on that. You mentioned the allies, too. Is it being overplayed, the extent to which, you know, like the Saudis and maybe the Jordanians and others seem to, at least initial reports, were aligning with Israel against Iran? I know that there's, you know, the weird hate relationship between the Saudis and Iran. But they all kind of say the same thing about Gaza and et cetera. I don't know if that's just for their domestic audiences and that's not really meant for an international audience. But what is your take on that? Was that significant to you or do you think it's overplayed or overreported?
I think it's strategically significant. And the reason it's strategically significant, at least in no small part, is it's affirming what the logic of the Abraham Accords was. It kept maximum pressure on what everyone in the region basically agreed was the dominant destabilizing threat, the mullahs in Iran. And it led to an alternative path to peace and prosperity in cooperation and opening some diplomatic ties with Israel and the Arab world. The Biden administration came in. The first thing they did was to pull back the terrorism designation on Iran's proxy, the Houthis, that was never mentioned in the campaign, and then just unloaded crap city on the leader of Saudi Arabia, who isn't as clean as the driven snow. But if you're going to look at the bad people of the Middle East, you're going to unfreeze money, sorry to say, Kirby, for the terrorist destabilizing force in Iran. And you want to berate the leader and the ally of Saudi Arabia in this. And what's happening now is that Israel and the Arab world are realigning again against this dominant challenge. And the Biden administration has put the United States back in the watcher position.
That's a very good point on that as well. You mentioned talking with Stephen Yates, China's watching this, obviously. What is the response that Israel could have and other nations in the area that in the U.S., you know, allies that would kind of make China nervous?
Well, if Israel and any other combination of willing forces were to significantly degrade the nuclear program, the energy programs, and any of the other fields that Russia and Moscow have openly collaborated with Iran on, it would be a pushback against this fancy pants alternative to the U.S. and free world order that they've been talking about with BRICS and otherwise. And it would show if you go too far in trying to attack the free world is in fact going to stand up for itself. It's not sunsetting the way the Chinese have repeated, and a lot of really soft-minded American and European academics have repeated, that we are on decline, they're on the rise, and we have to make some accommodation. To which I say, no, we're great as long as we get our own house in order. And I think we're about the business of trying to do that now.
I hope so. I hope we are. This has been, it was wild to see all of that over the weekend. And then, of course, World War III was, I don't think we're going to get into World War III. But you never know anymore. I mean, with this administration in charge, I mean, they called a lid on it. Is there anything, last question, is there anything that they did right at all in all of this, because I see so many moving parts and so many competing narratives. I don't know. I mean, is there anything that they did correctly that might make you think, okay, well, maybe there's like one person with a brain cell that's in the administration that might be at least preventing us from like going into the hellscape of World War III?
Unfortunately, my answer is no. There is nothing that was reassuring in any of this. And just because people are starting their work week and deserve to know the truth, if you thought that Iran bringing those drones across towards Israel was shocking and unnerving, just think what millions of undocumented people coming across our border are looking at and learning from. And we have got to get our house in order now, because worse can happen in the United States now under current policy.
And may still, heaven forbid. Stephen Yates, always a pleasure. That's a Monday topic, if ever there was a Monday topic. At Yates Comms, we're going to, one day, we're only going to talk about super happy stuff. I'm going to make a note of it. It's just going to be super happy stuff. Good to see you,
my friend.
Happy
to be a ray of sunshine once again.
Have a great week. Good to see you.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
You too. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this third hour of our program. I love his honesty. He's just like, yeah, nope, not anything good to say. I mean, he's right, though. He made some really good points on that.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Wilhelmina, Jaden Vanderveen, and seven for Bergen Episcopal, Abby Wilson. Out very well is Gallagher, McDaniel, lane two. You're going to see Gallagher later on in the relays. Great plays, great drive.
If you're watching the simulcast, this is a dude who is just, Gallagher, I mean, clearly smoking the other chicks in this track meet. It is a male sophomore who crushed his competition at a female high school track meet. It was the 200 meter varsity race. That's insane. And I can't believe all of these, including Daily Mail, to call him or her. Aiden Gallagher was apparently, so this was his transgender athlete, 10th grader Aiden Gallagher. Just blew away in the heat for 200 meter. 25.49. That's what he clocked in at. That's insane. And people were outraged. It is misogyny. Championing a male in female sports is absolute misogyny. And the Oregon School Activities Association allows students to compete with whatever gender identity they want to claim. Females should, I get it that it's, you know, you're robbing women of athletics. I wouldn't have walked out on the track and field, and that's what it's going to take, unfortunately, which sidelines a lot of females. I wouldn't have walked out on the track with this dude there. That's insane. All right, today in stupidity, Kane, what do we got?
Oh boy. Yeah, that is stupid. Karine Jean-Pierre, we have more stupidity. Juan, just go ahead and play this.
Oh, boy.
That's about gas prices. They've been going up over the last month, 20 cents a gallon. Is the president considering any new actions, like releasing more oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve?
I don't have any new actions to read out.
That's
I will note that gas prices remain well below their peak back in 2022. I think that's important.
That being your bragging point, you've taken the gas prices to a peak. And just because they're below that peak you've taken it to, somehow that's a sales point.
Well, yeah, after they wanted to shut down the economy, and then when people went back to work, they wanted to claim those jobs as jobs created. I love how they try to do this stuff. That does it for us today, folks. Find us over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Make sure you sign up. YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe. We're at Rumble as well. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.